I'm very glad that you can be here and we can spend this day together in a way that we can be honoring to the Lord. Ever since I was a child, I have heard people speaking of peace. My earliest political recollections were adults sitting around the table talking about a man by the name of Chamberlain and his negotiations, and as a child could hear people talking about peace and the restlessness that existed in Europe. Shortly after that, there was restlessness and turmoil in our own land and war, and during times of blackout and apprehension and separation of loved ones, there was a constant talk of peace that was beamed in over the radio. Then television began to supplement that, and there was more talk and exposure, but there was also increased war. The unfortunate circumstances of the Pacific War, and then the Korean War, and then the Vietnamese War, and all subsequent activities, and even today, wherever there's a simple effort made of a couple of men getting together to talk, which for practical purposes is all they can do, and that's all that they can effect. And yet we get rather anxious and it's publicized, and yet we have given to us on this particular time of year the reminder that the one who alone can bring peace has come into the world. The Word of God calls the blessed message of our Lord Jesus Christ the gospel of peace. We are urged as Christians to be particularly equipped for the problems and difficulties of life by understanding and being secure and strong in the knowledge of having personal peace. And so I think it would be very appropriate for us to talk for just a few moments this morning and remind ourselves that when the angels made that glorious announcement, they were only confirming what God had promised. 700 years before the birth of our Lord Jesus, the prophet Isaiah announced to God's people in that very famous messianic portion. And he said that unto you a child is given, and unto you a child has been born, and the son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. The one person who can bring peace to the world, the one individual person who can ultimately effect divine purposes, and not only bring peace to the world, but during these troubled and difficult times, he offers peace to you and me as an individual. And this is what we would like to draw and press upon your mind this day. Not only the simple fact that the gospel of peace affords to us a message of comfort and blessing and joy, but further than that, there is something for us to appropriate and make of our own. I want to lift as a text a statement out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 6 and verse 15, where the Apostle Paul says that the third great piece of armor for God's people is to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That we have to do something to appropriate this message that Christ brought. The angels announced, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill among men. God has offered to us this peace. On the very last day of our Lord's appearance here in this world, he turns to his own in desiring to communicate to them not only truth, but special spiritual blessing. I can see those tender men gathered around, assimilating and drawing in everything that they can gather from this great Son of God. And in John's Gospel, chapter 14 and verse 27, the Lord says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. You see, all the way through the whole message of the gospel, there is threaded this thought that the gospel is a gospel of peace. Now, we would like to understand this morning and remind ourselves that the coming of Christ and the announcement of the good tidings of glad joy that unto us was born in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And ultimately, the angel said that meant peace on earth. The very one who could bring peace. And there's a fourfold peace brought to our attention in the Word of God. The first is that we can have peace with God. This is a peace of reconciliation. You and I need to have this peace above all else. This quiet, calming, securing blessing. To have a right relationship with God. It needs to be drawn to our attention, or we need to be reminded that God says there is no peace, saith the Lord, to the wicked. The wicked is the unbelieving man or woman. Whether we feel that we have led lives of impurity and vileness, or whether the Spirit of God convicts us on some peculiar, unique characteristic of our own, whatever it is in our life, we know that if we are not believers in Jesus Christ, and if we have never personally accepted the gospel message, God says there is no peace for the wicked. My God is a righteous God. One of the psalmists in Psalm 7 and verses 11 to 13, a capsulation or a summary of the statement is this, that our God is a righteous judge, and God is angry with the wicked every day, all day long. Our God is a God of compassion, but he's a God of holiness, and he is angry with you who are unbelievers in Jesus Christ. He is angry with us day by day for rejecting his beloved Son. Now he holds back and restrains his anger and his holy, righteous indignation that we might realize we have need of a peace with God. And then he proffers us the message, and he offers to you and me peace, and a great blessing indeed. The message of the gospel is called the gospel of peace because true peace can only come by the gospel, only by the gospel, and we need this message of peace. It's needed, and it can only be effected by the gospel itself. In Acts chapter 10, the apostle Peter went to a Gentile home, and in preaching, in his message, he said, and he was preaching peace through Jesus Christ. Do you personally know anything of that? In this day where there is turmoil and restlessness, a great intensification of sin and rampant rejection of God, do you know anything about having peace through a personal relationship to our Lord Jesus Christ? I pray so. This is a need that you and I have. God says in Isaiah 48, in verse 22, that because you have not hearkened to me, you do not have peace like a river and righteousness like the waves of the ocean. For any of us who are unbelievers, we do not have peace with God. We may have something that's inherently ours, a composure, a disinterest in things spiritual, a lack of insight, a lack of sensitivity to the awareness of the rampancy of sin and impurity. Whatever it is that you encase yourself in to somehow detach yourself from the world around, whatever it is that you are doing does not mean you have peace. It only means that the anger of God is intensified. But our Lord Jesus Christ came to give and to bring peace. Peace with God. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. That's a wonderful truth that God promises to those who are believers in our Lord Jesus Christ. That in order that we might have peace, God measured out his holy anger against sin and condemned sin in the flesh in our blessed Lord Jesus. For what purpose? To save your soul, yes, but that you might have peace with God. I want to read to you from Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ, having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Jesus Christ died, absorbing the punishment in his own body in order to reconcile you and me to God, that the gospel message could be called the gospel of peace. And this peace is only established by faith. Having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Having been justified by faith, you're made right before God in believing in the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus. Having been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a wonderful, blessed peace that's offered to you and me. The Lord Jesus Christ abolished death and bringing to life life and immortality. How? Through the gospel message. So we are so glad to be able to present to you the gospel of peace, that you can have peace with God through the Lord Jesus. But added to that, God promises that you can have peace with ourselves. The first is a peace of reconciliation. This is a peace of conscience. God says that your hearts and minds will be kept by faith, resting in our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the peace of God keeping our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We have peace as God's children. The message of the gospel is a gospel of peace. The angels announce clearly, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord summarizes his life and says, I will give you peace. Now, he wants you to have peace with God, but he wants you to have peace with yourself as well. And this now includes all of us. Our opening remarks are primarily addressed to those that are unbelievers. But now it becomes pressingly important that once we are a believer, that we recognize we must have peace with ourselves. That is to say, I have a peace of conscience, a peace in the matter of condemnation. As far as God is concerned, there is no penal judgment extended to believers in Jesus Christ. That's why you have peace. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Some of you are aware of your sin. You have guilty restlessness concerning your sin. Some of us need to confess these things and adjust them and make ourselves right before God to enter into the joy and the fullness of this season that we celebrate. But it's possible for us to have peace with ourselves in the matter of condemnation and in the matter of conscience. The worshipper should have no more conscience of sin. God has dealt with our sins in such a way that we should have no consciousness of them. They should be thoroughly obliterated in our mind. And we come with a full assurance of faith, having been sprinkled, our conscience sprinkled, by this cleansing, efficacious work of the gospel message. Do you have peace with yourself? Paul says, it's John that writes in 1 John 3, in verse 21. He said, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. That's the peace that God wants you to have. As a believer in Jesus Christ, a peace with yourself, having come to grips with the fact of what God has done regarding sin through his dear beloved Son who came as the Savior of the world and presented himself as this blessed gift of life. Now he offers to you and me to have this peace. A peace that can settle our relationship with God and settle our relationships with ourselves. We have peace with ourselves. God keeps our hearts and minds in this blessed peace and serenity. But further, God says in Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Do you feel the restlessness of pressure? The turbulence of business demands, the demands of a loved one, the demands of children. The holiday season itself becomes a burden and a grief other than the immediate day. Pressures, school requirements, cause us to absorb ourselves and be occupied in many of the activities of the world, finding all kinds of outlets to find something securing in our own soul. That's because we are not believing in God. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in him. The Lord Jehovah is our strength and our peace. He has provided his blessed Son, our Lord Jesus, a dramatic token of his care and interest. And if we as believers find ourselves restless and discontent and apprehensive, it's primarily because we're not enjoying that peace that he can and will minister to those who exert faith and rest and trust in him. God promises to you and me that the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace in believing through the work of the Holy Spirit. So we make a conversion commitment. We find ourselves reconciled to God and we have one peace with God. Then we go on in a deepening trust and a deepening confidence, a consistent awareness of our God and who has opened up to himself the avenue. And the Lord Jesus says, I am the way. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby you can be saved. Come and put your faith and trust in him, find peace with God, and then consistently rest your soul in him, and you will be filled with joy and peace in believing. The Lord Jesus made a very similar offer when he said that if you will only come to me and hunger and thirst and turn to me to find satisfaction, out of your being will flow rivers of living water. Why? Because you will believe in him.
He that believeth me, out of his being shall flow rivers of living water. We want to be a source of blessing to others, but we are timorous, we are fearful, we are restless, we are discontent. Why? We have stopped believing in him. We have resorted to our own negotiations. We find our own little outlets. We have our own little pleasures. We make sure we get our food and our exercise and our sleep and our business. But we have blocked the Prince of Peace out of our lives, even as God's children. Paul says the weaponry, the great defense for the household of faith, is to be prepared by the gospel of peace. And the preparation of the gospel of peace is in its entirety. Peace with God, peace with ourselves. And then thirdly, the third aspect of this peace is peace with one another, which is just as important. Peace with one another as God's children. And this is offered to us through the gospel message as well. We have peace with one another, and this is the peace of love and of unity. Earlier in the book of Ephesians, we read that there was a great social contention existing between Jew and Gentile. But the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, between Jews and Gentiles, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, that means to you and me, Gentiles. We Gentiles were far off from any relationship with God. When the Lord Jesus Christ died, he broke down the division between Jew and Gentile. He brought them together into one company, so making peace. There should never be any strife of social stress, of racial stress, of economical origin. Because there's peace between God's people. We are all drawn into the same family. Now we must be very practical. This peace, this unity, is established by the Holy Spirit. And we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Be very honest. Some of us have social preferences. Be very honest with yourself. Some of us have racial preferences. Be very honest with yourself. Some of us have strong intellectual preferences with people. And we have created strife and division at an intangible, invisible level existing between people because we do not see them as our peer. We do not view other people in humanity and in the body of Christ as our equal. And so we do not have peace. And there's a restlessness in our relationship. And a stress and a strain. But the Lord Jesus Christ came to bring peace. Peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace even with our brethren, that we can enter into God's standards. This peace is established by the Spirit, and it's experienced by the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace. I desire for you and for myself that as a congregation of God's people, and that as individuals before God, we might in some way be able to value the truth of God's Word. Most of you thought, if you're listening at all, that I was going to say, value peace. My greatest prayer, which is a daily prayer, which includes many of you by name, if not all of you, regularly, that we would come to submit to the authority and the truth of God's Word. And when God offers to us the glad tidings of peace, he means not just to know you're going to heaven, but he says, my beloved Son came, the Prince of Peace, to give you his peace, that we might have peace with God, peace with ourselves, peace with our brethren, and even extending it to the outside world around, that we have a peace with all of mankind, the unbelieving world around us. We are urged in Paul's letter to the church at Rome that as much as is possible within us to live peaceably with all men. And that's spiritual poise. A contentment of who you are and where you are in Christ. An acceptance of the great authority of God's Word. An unreserved abandonment to the truths that are taught in Holy Scripture. And so God says to us, shod your feet. Sandal yourself. Give yourself movement and stability and security. For the great Roman soldier known in the biblical time and was the object of Paul's observation as he stood and watched those men, Josephus, in his book on the Jewish Wars in volume 4, he makes this statement. He says that they had their shoes studded with nails. Why? To give strength, security, stability, durability to the shoe. But God's people left Egypt with just sandals, and they walked for 38 years in the wilderness. But the same pair of shoes. They weren't even floor shine. They were good shoes provided by God. They were heavenly shoes. God's provision for you and me, and what God did for them practically and literally, God can do for you and me spiritually. He can give us the undergirding. He can shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He can give us this security and stability. He can give us this quickness of movement. The ability to stand when it's necessary against the evil one and temptation and wrong, and be quick to move out, even as the gospeler says, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. Isaiah the prophet says, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring glad tidings and say, the Lord God reigneth. The gospel message is a blessed message. Have you shared it recently with anyone else? Or are we held back because we're not even enjoying the peace that God has given us? We're not enjoying the peace of our own soul, and so we're reluctant to share it with others. We don't have anything ourselves, and we're not prepared ourselves, and so we're not ministering it to others. Beloved child of God, when was the last time you spoke the gospel to another person? Not in a Sunday school class, but in a personal conversation. Just answer. Earlier today? Yesterday? Was it as far back as last week? No, if we're honest, for most of us we'll say, let's see, I think it was in April, I was on a train, and our neighbor got a chance to talk to my neighbor. This is what he is saying, by our feet prepared by the gospel of peace. Not only to have these blessed ministrations of peace ourselves, but then to be able to turn and share it willingly and happily and easily with other people. The preparation of the gospel of peace. God can give us peace with himself, peace with ourselves, peace with one another, peace with mankind around, and then says now, without any kind of reluctance, have your feet shod. Be prepared to move out with personal preparedness against any attack that the evil one makes to bring heaviness of spirit, confusion and strife and tension. Draw ourselves in and find our peace and rest by staying our heart upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He will keep us in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed, are stuck upon him, resting our soul in our great God and our blessed Lord Jesus, whom he sent into this world to give us peace. And then the aggressive strength that's given to us, by our feet prepared, under girdles, to go out and share this message of good news with others, by our life and by our lips, by willingness to share our wherewithal, by tokening to one another that we can secure and strengthen and comfort and help one another. Peace is a very choice blessing. But it must be striven for. The effort must be made. We must determine to shod our feet, to put on these heavenly shoes, have a sympathy and a compassion and a tender care for those around us without spiritual shoes on. We see pictures of the poor, and they're always barefooted little children, and our hearts are drawn out to give. See the unsaved as barefooted, going over the hard, rough, rocky road of this life, their feet torn and shredded and unable to go on with God because they've rejected Jesus Christ. And thank the Lord for his gracious gift of peace. And then make it our own in a very real way by sharing it with others. Peace with God, is it yours? The peace with ourselves, is it ours? Peace with one another. And peace with all mankind. The spiritual poise to be able to have our life fit into the routine of life all around, in business, in the home, in school, because we have the preceding three. We're in a perfectly clear and open relationship with those around us. Have your feet shod with the preparation of a gospel of peace. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill among men. I pray that that's ours for this day, and that somehow the Word of God would become of increasing importance to each of us, that we might make a deep, spiritual, inner calm of soul our goal through faith and trust and rest in Him and His Word.